Thank you for that song tonight. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. That's a great song and a great truth. And pray for Brother Isaiah as he is getting ready to hit the deputation trail here in just a few weeks. He'll be preaching for us next Sunday night and presenting his ministry, going to the country of Greenland. We don't know if that's going to be a foreign country or homeland here in a little bit, but pray for him as he gets ready to go. And praise the Lord for his faithfulness. That's a blessing. In Luke chapter 5, and we will begin in verse number 1. As you find that, would you stand to your feet in respect to the Word of God as we read this evening? Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 11. Luke 5. And verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And we had thus, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Well, let's bow for a word of prayer. We ask for your help this evening, Lord, as we open the Word of God, that you would give clarity to the Word of God and that you would have power as the Word of God is preached. Please use me. I submit to your will and your way. I pray you'd speak to hearts and lives tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you look at your Bible tonight, Jesus came, as many times he did. The multitudes were following him, and they would press Jesus many times everywhere that he went to hear what he had to say, to see a miracle. And everywhere that Jesus went, you had the crowd of people following him. You understand? The crowds were not all disciples and followers of Jesus. Some wanted to see what they could get out of it. Some believed, some didn't believe. Some were trying to catch Jesus, maybe in a fault. Of course, they could not do that. And so as Jesus came to this lake of Gennesaret, also the lake of Galilee, the Bible says, he came here and he saw something. There was two ships standing by the lake, it says, but the fishermen were gone out of them and they were washing their nets. They weren't out on the sea. They weren't fishing at this time. That they were empty. So he came to the ships and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. And Simon, he went in there. He was fishing out of it. And he said to Simon, he said, thrust out a little bit into the sea. And he thrust out there into the sea a little bit. And Jesus began to teach from the ship. I hope you picture the Word of God as you read it. These aren't just stories. These are real life events of what God did. And he thrust out and he began to speak and to teach the people that were on the shore. Jesus taught like no other person. When Jesus spoke, he had one that spoke with authority and people left amazed or angered. It was one or the other. And he would do miracles and all that Jesus said, but as he thrust out, he said, I'm gonna speak from here. And Simon said, okay, you know, he thrust out. And Jesus told him, and he said, now after he got done speaking, he said, I want you to go out a little further, let down your nets, and catch some fish. Peter thought, I've been fishing all night. The kids know it, fished all night, but they caught no fishes, all right? And he didn't catch any fish that night, but Jesus said, cast out the net. So he cast out his net, and he thought, well, I'm going to do what he said. You know, we'll see what happens. And he brings it back up. And the draught of fishes, the multitudes of fishes that came began to break the net so much that they called the other ship and said, come on over here. We caught a few. And they brought the ship on over, and they took that fish, and they began to fill them into both of the boats so much that they both began to sink. When Jesus entered a village, it was never the same again. When Jesus entered a ship, it was never the same again. And when Jesus touched someone's life, they're never the same again. And the ship began to sink, and they came to the shore, and Peter came to the, as they came to the shore, and Peter knelt before him and said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He thought, this is someone different. This isn't just a fisherman, not just another person. This is God. His life was changed that day. I want to give you some truths today about this thought today that Peter went out to fish for fish. He went out catching fish, but as he left fishing for men. I want to give you a challenge today about this fishing for men. First of all, I want you to see in verse number 2 that, and verse number 3, as Jesus went to the ship, he said, thrust out a little bit, and he sat down and began to teach the people. And you see the teaching of Jesus as he was in the ship, and he taught them, and he taught them truth, and he was helping the people. And can you picture the multitude of people covering the shore? Could you picture and hear the voice of Jesus as it reverberated off of the sea, and as the people heard it and they were listening to Jesus. You can picture the place of how the setting that day. And as Jesus was teaching, and as he got done again, he says, launch out into the deep. Look at that in verse number 4. When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. When he was done speaking, he said, I want you to go out a little bit further. And I bet Peter would have thought, and this is Simon Peter, of course, he would have thought, well, maybe he's going to speak from even further out. What are we doing here? So they launched out a little bit further. And he was given some instructions. Launch out into the deep. So he launched out a little bit further. I want you to think about the spiritual application for this here in a bit. So I want you to launch out, and then I want you to let down your nets. Look down in verse number 5, I believe it is. He says, launch out into the deep, verse 4. And he said, and let down your nets for a draught. Now again, these were fishermen by trade. Understand? Now, I hate to admit it, I do not care for fishing, all right? I don't get the point of it. I don't understand about throwing, you know, it's fun. I'll go with the kids and this stuff and all that. For me personally, I would never miss it if I didn't have to go fishing again. That's not my thing, all right? I don't enjoy throwing the bait out there to catch nothing, all right? And I'm a little too impatient for the fishing. And at the same time, I hate to say it, I don't care to eat fish as well. So I'm not going to go and throw out the net or to throw out the line. You can't throw out the nets. That's illegal, all right? To throw out the line and to try to catch nothing. Even if I catch it, what am I going to do with it? Give it to someone else? I'm not going to eat it. He says, launch out into the deep. So what did Simon do? He launched out into the deep. He said, let out your nets. And look in verse number 5, and he's let them out for a draught. Remember, they caught nothing all night. All of a sudden, Peter's thinking, now I'm going to catch everything. Now all of a sudden, the fish are just going to appear. And he said, Master, we have toiled all the night. You see Simon's instructions in the previous verse, but now you start to hear his excuses. You ever made excuses with God? Right? God said, I want you to go. And you go, but God, why do you want me to go? I've already been there. And you start to, I've already checked the mailbox. I already checked the email. I already talked to the person. I don't understand, God. And you don't say it out loud, right? But you say it in here. You know what I'm talking about. And so he said to him, he said, Master, we have toiled all the night. They worked hard. They labored. They did all that they knew how to do. They toiled all the night. And he says this, not only did they toil all night, but it says they had taken what? Nothing. They toiled all night and nothing. Not one, not two. You'd think commercial fishermen. This was their livelihood, not just doing it for the fun of it. And he said, we caught not a single fish. They were on the shore washing the nets thinking, let's go home. Let's get something to eat. Let's get cleaned up. Let's go to bed. We're done with it for the day. The fish aren't biting today. They toiled all the night and they'd taken nothing. They got zilch, zero, not a single thing. They got the instructions from God and he had the excuses, but in verse number 5, he says this at the end of the verse. He says, we've toiled all night, we've taken nothing, but the last phrase says this, nevertheless. Can you kind of picture Peter's spirit here? Okay, I'll do what you told me to do, all right? Kind of like your kids do with mom and dad. Go look again in your room. I can't find the shoes, mom. Go look again. I guarantee you they're there. I think that's what the women say to the husbands as well. It's not in the fridge. Look again. All right? They moved it like 1 centimeter over and it disappeared in a man's eyesight. You know how that works? And he says, nevertheless, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, you know, nevertheless, he said, at thy word, I will let down the net. And you see Simon's obedience. You see his obedience. You see the instructions that God gave to him. You see the excuses and the reasons why this wasn't going to work. But then you see that Simon said, you know what? I'm just going to obey God. I'm just going to do what God told me to do. So he went and he launched out. He let down the nets. And instead of letting down the nets, you see in verse number 5, he let down the net. He let down one. You know, he thought, well, what's the point? I mean, you put the nets out, what do you have to do? You're going to have to pull them back in. And that takes a lot of work. He let down a net and God will see what you do. So he let down the net and Simon's amazement in verse number 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed, look at this, a couple of fishes, right? Is that what the scripture says? No, it says they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and they break their net. You know what God said? Hey, fish, it's time to go now. Hey, fish, I need you to head up north a little bit. There's a net I need you to go get in. It's Simon's net. I don't know if he talked to the fish like that, but that's how I picture it happening. And the fish all swam in the net. And you know when you throw out the line and you get a little tug, right? Now, maybe it's the log. Maybe it's the shoe at the bottom of the lake. I'm not sure. But you know when it's the fish and you get the tug and you yank on that and you start fighting it in. And all of a sudden, Simon realized something is happening. And his amazement to what God had done. There were so many, the nets were breaking. They called the other ship and said, come on over. We need your help. And they started to fill up both the ships. They began to sink in his amazement of what God had done. Simon, in verse number 8, he saw his condition. He fell at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. You know, when you come before God and realize who he is, you come humbly before God and you see who you really are. Amen? You say, I'm a sinful man. Lord, I don't deserve. He realized who he was, but then he realized who God was as well. He said, I'm a sinful man, oh Lord. He realized this was Jesus in the ship with him. I'm giving you a lot of introduction and give you some application at the end. But I want you to look at the point of why Jesus came that day. He taught the multitudes. We don't hear anything about that. We see him catch the fish. We don't see him eating the fish or how much they sold it for. Why did Jesus really come? I want you to look here at the end of the story in verse number 10. Let's go back to verse number 9. It says he was astonished and all that were with him for the draught of fish as they had taken. But in verse number 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which are partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Jesus wasn't there to catch fish. You know that, right, church? He wasn't there to catch a bunch of fish. He was there to invest in Simon Peter. He was there for the other men in the ship as well, for James and for John. He was there not for the ship. He wasn't there for the nets. He wasn't there for the catch. He was there to invest in the lives of people to make a difference in their lives. Here's what we see with Jesus' calling to Simon. Jesus said to Simon at the end of verse number 10, what does he say first of all? He says, fear not. Look at this today. He says, fear not. Simon, again, had fallen down at Jesus' feet, and he said, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And he says, fear not. You know, God had a plan for Simon's life, and Simon realized that God was working in his life, and he thought, Lord, what are you doing? You ever been in that place in your life where God starts calling in your life and that God is working and meeting in your life? And that can be a fearful place to be. You realize that God is calling, that God has a plan for your life. And Simon's thought and response was about fear. But Jesus said, fear not. Don't be afraid of the calling of God. Listen to the voice of God. I believe that God is calling lives today to do his will and to do his work. He's going to call Simon to go be a fisher of men. Not to go and to fish for the actual fish and to make a living. But he said, you're going to be fishers of men. But he said, fear not. Listen to the voice of God. Let me ask you this today. Do you hear the voice of God's call in your life tonight? You hear God calling? Do you hear God working in your life as you read the Word of God, as you spend time in prayer, and you hear God calling? Don't be afraid. Listen to the voice of God. I think of Samuel in the temple, that boy, and he was left by his mother there to be raised in the temple. And Eli there that night in the temple, the priest, and Samuel there, and God calls to Samuel. It says, Samuel, Samuel. And he goes and runs to Eli and said, Eli, I'm here. And he said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And he goes back to bed, and God calls to him again, Samuel, Samuel. He goes to Eli the third time finally. Eli says to Samuel, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I believe that God is calling, and God is working on people's lives and calling for a special purpose and a task that God has just for you. Many times we miss out on the call of God simply by this word of fear. God, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to say? And God starts calling you, think, whoa, Lord, I can't do that. You been there before? God's calling and God meets with you and you say, God, but I can't. And we start to back up and make excuses. But God said, fear not. Don't be afraid of the voice of God. Don't be afraid of the opinions of people. God's going to be calling Simon to be one of the disciples, to be a fisher of men. He said, fear not, and I believe that fear was maybe of what others around him might be thinking or what they might be saying. You ever been there before? That God's calling in your life and God is working and God maybe has for you to step out of the crowd, but you think, what is everyone else going to say? What are they going to do and what is going to happen? Fear not. Trust the plan of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he, what's the next word? Shall direct thy paths. You trust in the Lord and don't lean to your own understanding. In a moment, he's going to call him to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. There's some fear involved with stepping out to follow God, isn't there? Leaving behind and trusting the Lord, it takes faith in God and not in yourself, but you must not fear God's calling in your life. Secondly, we see, he says, fear not. He says this in the end of verse number 10, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You're not going to be catching fish anymore, you're going to be catching men. He said, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be going into the highways and hedges, and you're going to tell people about Jesus, about me, he said. You're going to tell them there's a way to heaven and there's a way to escape hell. And you're not going to be in the fishing business anymore, catching fish, but you're going to be catching men and women and children and pointing them to the Savior and telling them about heaven and hell. He said, you're not going to be fishing anymore, but you're going to be preaching the Word of God now. He had a calling on his life. He had a purpose. He had a plan for his life that he was going to step out by faith and do the will of God and tell people about Jesus Christ. You know, there's no greater task that you and I can have. There's no greater thing that you and I can do in this life than to tell someone about Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater that you can do for an eternal impact to tell someone, can I tell you the Bible way to heaven? To leave a gospel tract and to tell someone, you think, well, I'm busy and I'm working and I've got things to do. How long does it take to leave a gospel tract and to tell them how God loves you? That Jesus died for you. To say, do you know for sure where you'll spend your eternity? You think, but I've got a job. But I've got things to do. I've got a busy schedule. Well, so did Peter, didn't he? He had a job and that was a fishing, but he said, you're not going to catch fish anymore. But from now on, you're going to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to tell people about how to go to heaven. There is no greater task that you and I can have than to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Christian, realize your purpose, why God left you here, that God saved you to take you to heaven, but so that you take someone else with you when you go. Too many people are living for this life and living for this earth to have another dollar and have some more fun and just to live the life. Do you realize there's an eternity on the other side of this life? The next breath that you take could be your last breath. We are not guaranteed another breath, another day, and neither is the person sitting next to us, living next to us, or the people that you pass along the way. You think, but I've got a dollar to make, and I understand you gotta make the money and take care of your family and provide for your own. But your purpose here is not to make money. Your purpose is not to gain possessions. Your purpose is to tell people about Jesus Christ. To tell them that Jesus came and that God loves you and that he died to pay for your sins and that you can have a home in heaven. Our job here isn't to catch fish, but it's to catch men. Tell them about Jesus Christ. He said, fear not. He said, you're going to be a fisher of men now. But in verse number 11, it says this, and when they had brought their ships to the land, look at the next three words. Can you read that with me? And when they brought the ships to the land, what does it say? They forsook what? All. Not a little. They forsook all. You realize what that means? Forsaking all? Leaving it all behind? Stepping out by faith into the will of God and saying, God, you're going to have to take care of me because I'm stepping out and doing what you called me to do, forsaking all. What were they leaving behind? They were leaving behind their profession. They were leaving behind what put food on the table and paid the rent. That's what they're leaving behind. They were leaving behind the friends or family or people behind that weren't living for God, and they were stepping out by faith to do the will of God for their lives. They were forsaking all. They were leaving all behind to go and to serve the Lord. You understand this, to serve God, you have to leave some things behind. Understand that? You got to leave some things behind. Too many times what happens is when God calls to do His will and His work, that we're dragging things behind. Say, well, I want to bring all the stuff with me and all the baggage and the things that are literally just holding you back from serving God. Christian, what is holding you back from living for God tonight? What's holding you back from truly selling out to live for God, to live your life for God, for our young people, for our adults, for our senior citizens? What is holding you back from giving your all to God? See, we're good at giving some to God, aren't we? That's easy to do. I'll give God some, but I can trust in the rest, you know? I can leave a little behind, but God wants us to forsake all. The children of Israel going out of Egypt, He wanted them not a little bit out of Egypt, He wanted them all the way out of Egypt. And not just out of Egypt, but to go to the promised land and forsaking Egypt behind. He said, I'm your God now. You'll serve no other gods but me. The Ten Commandments given to the children of Israel as they went to the promised land. And He's telling the Israelites to forsake all because I'm your God. Have you truly forsaken all in your life? You left the things of the world behind you and you say, God, I'm only going to serve you for the rest of my life. See, Simon's calling, Jesus said, fear not. He told him, now you're a fisherman. He told him to forsake all, to leave the world behind. The end of verse number 11, it says, and they forsook all, and what's the next two words? Followed him. What a great calling in life to follow Jesus, right? You know that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. What does it say next? No turning back, no turning back. See, God is calling Christians tonight, I believe. Maybe God is calling you, first of all, tonight in the matter of salvation. You don't know you're saved. You've been questioning, doubting. You don't know that heaven's your home. Would you follow Jesus in His way of salvation? But maybe you know that you're saved tonight, but God's call on your life, maybe for our young people. We look at our young people and think they've got their whole life ahead of them, and you do. You got plans. You're getting ready to graduate. Maybe getting ready to go into high school and you're about to be the big man on campus and you don't realize going into high school, you're about to be the little man on campus. The tables turn on you, right? And you think, I've got my whole life ahead of me. What do I want to do with my life? What does God want to do with my life? What's God's plan for my life? Young person, have you truly prayed and sought the will of God and say, God, here's my life. Take my life and let it be. Say, God, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. You realize the calling of God wasn't for a couple of hours. It wasn't for a week or a month. It was a lifetime calling to serve and to follow God. Young person, have you dedicated your life to serve God for the rest of your life? Many times young people do this. They say, God, I'll serve you after I do what I want to do. After I have my career and my fun and all the stuff I want to do, then I'll serve you, God. It doesn't work that way, young person. You get out of the will of God for a year. Many times you don't get in the will of God right away. You never get in the will of God. I've seen it long enough for young people to say, I'm going to go and do this or hang back for a while. If that's God's will for your life, praise the Lord, right? But if God has called you to leave, to go and to serve Him, you know what it's time to do? It's time to go. It's time to forsake all, leave it behind, and say, I'm dropping the nets. I'm leaving the ship all behind, and I'm serving God for the rest of my life. Young person, is that your desire that you'd serve God for a lifetime? Parents, grandparents, whatever stage of life you're in, Do you desire to live for God for a lifetime? That's my desire. I don't know how much life God has given to me, but I might be smack dab in the middle of the lifespan that God has given to me. I could be nearing the end. I don't know. But my desire is to serve God for the rest of my life. I hope you have a proper fear of getting out of the will of God. I hope you have a proper fear of forsaking God, going back to the world, following after sin. You're going to have to leave some things behind you and say, I'm just going to follow God for the rest of my life and follow Him. Jesus was more concerned with people than with plans. He wasn't worried about taking a boat ride and all this stuff. He was investing in people. There's people all around you that need Jesus. You know that, church? People that you pass every single day. People you talk to every week of your life. People that need Jesus. But many times, we're too busy with the stuff of life to stop and to invest in people. Jesus was more concerned with people than with plans. Jesus was calling disciples and He was preparing preachers. See, Jesus knew that His time on this earth was limited, but He invested in others. He invested in the disciples and the followers of Jesus and told them the plan to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What happened when Jesus went back to heaven? Those disciples that Jesus trained and that He sent out, they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. They made a difference in the world where they lived. Would to God that we made a difference in the world where we live today. Would to God that we make a difference in Redding, California, and tell people about Jesus Christ. I love Redding, and I have no intention of ever leaving Redding. But man, this city needs Jesus. They need Jesus. We're not going to change this world through politics and through politicians and through all the plans and the stuff. You can fix up all the buildings that you want in Redding, but people still need Jesus. I think about that, and I'm thankful they want to fix up the buildings and all the murals they want to do. I don't know how many more murals they're going to do in Redding, but I guess they're going to keep them going. But to be honest, in a sense, it's putting lipstick on the pig, if you know what I mean. There's still the same underlying problem in Redding, that people need Jesus. People lost in sin and walking from God, away from God and ruining their lives and don't know about the Savior. God has put Shasta Baptist Church here for such a time as this, to make a difference in the area where you live, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to reach the lost. Are you making an impact in the world around you? In just a few weeks, we have the privilege of sending Brother Isaiah out on deputation. Is there any fear heading out to deputation, Brother Isaiah? A little bit. Got a few meetings booked. He's got a route planned for a little bit. And then it's living by faith. That's a blessing, isn't it? You know, being in a place of fear is a place of trusting God. Saying, God, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know all the plans. I don't have all the meetings. I don't know every place I'm going to stay and all that. And we're going to be in contact and making sure he's not sleeping on the side of the road eating potato chips for every meal. But you know, in a little bit, the Lord's calling you to launch out, Brother Isaiah. There's a people in Greenland that need Jesus. But God's put a call in your life to reach people with the gospel there. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of funds being raised, a lot of prayer, a lot of trust in God, how God directs your life. But it's about time to launch out. It's about time to step out by faith and say, God, this is your plan, not mine. this has got to be you, God, because it's not about me. It's a scary place to be, but it's such a wonderful place to be. And say, God, my life is in your hands. This is your plan and your will, not mine. And say, God, I just want to make a difference for you. Young person, what's God's plan for your life? Your parents can't speak for God's plan for your life. Your pastor, your teachers, we can't speak for God's plan for your life. But there comes a time where Jesus said, I'm jumping in the ship. And you say, okay. He's in the ship with you and he says, launch out into the deep a little further. And you get a little deeper. And you think, what are we doing, God? He says, just keep going. It's all right. He says, toss out the nets. And you say, okay, God. And you step up by faith and say, God, it's time to toss the nets out. And you say, God, what are you going to do? You toss out the nets and he said, okay, it's time to pull them back in. You pull them back in and you see God's blessings in your life. You start to reap the benefits and see the blessings and seeing people come to Christ and lives changed and souls coming to know Jesus as their Savior. Families being put back together, helping those kids on your bus routes in that nursing home and that juvenile hall, and you start to see God make a difference in lives. And God doesn't just bless in a little. He blesses in a whole bunch. Sometimes it's a little, sometimes it's a bunch. That's up to God. Amen? That's up to God. Maybe you pull it up and there's one fish. Praise God for the one fish. Amen? Praise God for the one. But sometimes you pull it up and there's going to be a whole bunch. Then you say, God, this wasn't me. This was all you. This wasn't me and my strength and my power and my knowledge. You know why? Because I was fishing all night and I caught nothing. But with Jesus in the boat and following Jesus' command, and you do what God says, and God said, okay, now's the time and now's the place and here's what you do. And you say, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you. And you drop the nets and you pull them back in and say, God, this was all you. And you fall at Jesus' feet and say, oh, God, I need your help. Are you making an impact in the world around you? Forsaking all and following him. One fish at a time. One life at a time. Again, it's not about the fish, all right? Fish stink, all right? They don't smell too good. If you think they smell good, you got problems, all right? They don't smell good. They stink, all right? But the fish is about people. One at a time, making a difference. One at a time, pulling out of the fire. Saying there's one more soul that's not going to hell and now they're going to heaven. One more life that's been changed. One more family brought back together. One more, God, would you help me to see another? God wants to work in and through your life. Are you willing to forsake all and follow him?